Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Faster May, good evening, it's 5:30 and this is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, an amber weather warning for the Isle of Man. No housing strategy is a letdown. Will the Ramsey Marina ever happen? The Branfield site debate goes on, and Solicitor General and Attorney General. What's the difference?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
29 minutes to six. First of all, the news headlines. Faster My, Ed Oldham.
Faster My. A spike in inflation last month is being blamed on a large rise in airfares. As measured by the Consumer Prices Index, it jumped from 0.9% in October to 3.2% in November. For air travel over the Christmas and New Year period, prices have increased by 46% compared to 12 months ago. A yellow weather warning is in place for 12 hours from 3 a.m. tomorrow. Severe gale force winds and heavy rain are forecast, with it due to be at its worst between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. And an amber weather warning for coastal overtopping will also be in place from 8 a.m. until just after midnight. The Policy and Reform Minister says there are issues with the government policies on tax and affordable housing, which impact the development of brownfield sites. He's been speaking ahead of Tynwald tomorrow, where a Cabinet Office report will be received, outlining what's being done to tackle the issue of unoccupied urban areas. Further afield, Boris Johnson has apologised after taking a reporter's phone off him during an interview about the NHS. Britain's Prime Minister initially refused to look at a picture on the device of a child with pneumonia sleeping on a hospital floor. Officials in New Zealand think a volcano on a small island has killed everyone who was on it. Around 50 people, including local and foreign tourists, were visiting White Island at the time. And Russia's been handed a 4-year ban from all major international sporting events for doping violations. It means there will be no official Russian team at next year's Olympics or the 2022 Football World Cup, but the country can appeal. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or follow us on Facebook.
28 minutes to 6.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
From Ronald's Way out in the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours, there is a gale warning and some Sea Watch news from Isle of Man Steve Packet to come during update tonight. But for the Isle of Man, after a dark, dry night, but then heavy rain overnight on gale or severe gale force southwest winds, the overnight minimum 7 degrees. For Tuesday, and I'll come to the detail in a moment, there's an amber weather warning for coastal overtopping. The forecast is wet and very windy, with southerly gale or severe gale force winds for most of the day. Top temperature 12 degrees, down to 5 overnight into Wednesday. Jacrain Wednesday, bright intervals, passing showers on a strong westerly. Maximum daytime temperature 7 Celsius. Cold and wet overnight into Thursday, down to just 4. Sunrise tomorrow morning is at 28 minutes past 6. The next tide around the Isle of Man is high water at 20 to 10 tonight, low tide overnight 4 a.m. and the high water, the all-important high water tomorrow morning, 7 minutes past 10.
Manx Glass and Glazing will be closed for Christmas and New Year from the 20th of December and reopening on Monday the 6th of January.
And before we get to update tonight and the news, details of the amber weather warning, adverse conditions are expected to affect the island from 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, Tuesday the 10th, until midnight 15 on Wednesday the 11th, due to the south-southwesterly wind increasing to gale or severe gale force tonight. Large waves are expected to affect exposed coastal roads and promenades on Tuesday at around the time of high tide. That's 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, or a couple of hours either side as well. This will lead to significant amounts of seawater and debris being brought onshore. Areas most at risk tomorrow morning around 10 o'clock, Shore Road in Rushen, Castletown Promenade, the northern end of Douglas Promenade, as well as Laxey and Ramsey Promenades. Around mid-afternoon tomorrow, Tuesday, the wind will turn to the west or west-southwest and east slightly, although remaining gale and strong to gale force, with slight or moderate overtopping of waves then likely to affect Fenella Beach in Peel and the eastern end of Peel Promenade for the evening's high tide. That's a 10:15 tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening. Everything is available at manxradio.com on the website.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Infrastructure Minister Ray Harmer has let himself down by failing to bring a housing strategy to Tynwald. The View of Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper, who's asking for an update on the issue at this month's sitting of Tynwald. He'd previously been told the policy would go before the island's parliament by the end of this year, but that hasn't happened. Laurie Hooper spoke to Manx Radio's Sian Cowper.
I mean, I've been pushing for this since I was elected in 2016. Actually, we do need a national housing strategy. We need to have an understanding of how we're going to make it easier for people to buy homes, how we deal with the rented sector, how do we deal with public housing on the Isle of Man. And actually, the minister really has let himself down on this one, because he did promise in the House of Keys, he said that he was committed to bringing a housing strategy back to Tynwald by the end of this calendar year. So obviously we're now in December. Tynwald's last sitting is next week, and there is no housing strategy in sight, so I'm looking forward to the minister explaining that one.
You're also asking about when it will go out to consultation, and then when it will then be going through Tynwald. That suggests this could still be quite a way off. Are you a bit concerned that maybe it could be a bit tight for this administration?
I'm very concerned, actually, that we may end up getting through an entire 5 years without government delivering on a housing strategy, which consistently they've said, we should probably have one of these. We do need an understanding of how we're going to make sure there is enough housing and it's affordable for people on the Isle of Man. And the fact that we're more than halfway through a government, more than halfway through a term, and we still don't know what their plan is and how they're going to address the housing shortage, the housing issues that we have, is extremely worrying.
Why is that consultation aspect particularly important?
Well, I think when you're putting together any major strategy, especially if it's going to be a shift away from something that you already have, I think that's it's important to go out and ask people actually what they think, and really not just what they think, but what their lived experience tells them. There are a lot of people living in rented accommodation, a lot of people that are trying to buy houses, a lot of people that have bought houses, and there are a lot of local authorities that run housing and some charities that do as well. So there's a lot of people, a lot of stakeholders involved in this, and everyone's going to have their own perspective, their own experience on what works, what doesn't, and what challenges they've faced, and what would have helped them in their circumstances actually progress. And so it really is important to engage with people when you're talking about issues like this.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
six, GP recruitment on the Isle of Man is improving, but the same can't be said for Nobles Hospital, according to Ramsey MHK Dr. Alex Allenson, who spoke on The Man in Line earlier on today about a number of topics, including the struggles of hiring healthcare workers in the Isle of Man. Firstly, he gave me his views on telemedicine.
There are lots of different schemes with telemedicine, and you're quite right that some of them have fallen by the wayside. I think we need to relook at those, and certainly what we've got at the moment is a transformation team looking at how we provide services on the Isle of Man. Some of that does happen. I was at a meeting last week in terms of genetics, and some of the genetic counselling can be provided over the phone to people. So people can phone up one of the specialists in Liverpool, get all the advice, then we can take the blood here, send the blood over, rather than sending the whole person over. So some of that has already been happening. Walton lay on a special line for GPs to ask about neurological conditions and get advice. But we need to increase that, because at the moment we're sending people across sometimes for just a 10-15 minute appointment, but they're spending the whole day doing that. That's a real waste of patients' time. And I think by using smarter technology, particularly in certain areas where you just want an opinion rather than hands-on treatment, we can achieve much better.
So it could save money.
It can save money. That the big thing is saving people's time. I know families where perhaps their child has to go to Alderhay. That means the parent or parents have to take a day off work. Their child loses a day of school. They have to go all the way over to Liverpool and back. As I said, sometimes just to check some blood tests or check a scan result. We need to be a lot smarter in terms of how we provide healthcare, so it's done for the convenience of the person rather than convenience of the hospital.
What is going on with recruitment in the health service?
Again, in terms of general practice, we've been very lucky. We've had doctors coming in from literally around the world. Nobles have got their own problems in terms of getting specialists in and getting nursing staff, and obviously that there are various issues with that. It's not just the Isle of Man, it's worldwide, that we're probably not training as many staff as we need. But one of the things that the Department of Health has been doing is having nurse training on the Isle of Man now. We've also got GP trainees on the Isle of Man and lots of medical trainees, so hopefully we can have a much more sustainable service for the future.
And Dr. Allenson, remember, a Ramsey MHK also had a view on whether the Ramsey Marina would ever materialise?
I really hope so. Again, going back to my election manifesto, it was something that, as a commissioner, I saw. We went through various proposals and plans, and nothing happened to them. Now, certain people in Ramsey don't want the proposed marina, which has been brought up by a private consortium. Again, this is part of an overall harbour strategy for the island that we're going to be debating in Tynwald this week. I think that looking into marina proposals in Ramsey makes sense. I think it's an ideal place for them. Whether the beach is the best place for them, I'm not quite sure, but certainly I will give my support for anyone who wants to invest on the Isle of Man, and particularly in the north of the island. And the marina development they're talking about would be a major investment.
Do you think Ramsey was left behind by not having a marina when it had the chance a few years ago?
Certainly. I think when you look at some of the advantages in terms of Douglas and in terms of Peel, it helps rejuvenate their harbour side, helps rejuvenate the area itself, both for visitors and the local residents, you know, together. And I think Ramsey could really benefit from that. However, we are an industrial port. We've got a Meseron there. It's a busy port. And so anything that's put in there has to fit in with the rest of the environment rather than take away from it. It's really nice to see that debate happening in Ramsey. I know that there's been a group set up to oppose development that would use up some of the beach area, and I completely can appreciate their point of view. But at the same time, I think that if people are going to come up with proposals to invest in Ramsey, I would support those on the premise that they have to go through environmental impact assessments, have to go through the whole planning process. There'd be no favouritism. But if it actually stacks up and they're the right things for Ramsey, I'll be very happy to support it.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Bamercree left Heysham at 2:07 this afternoon, arriving in Douglas around now. Due to the forecast adverse weather, the sailing this evening will leave at 7:00. Last check-in is at 6:30, so the 7:45 sailing to Heysham, the Bamercree will leave at 7:00. The overnight weather forecast, again, because of the adverse weather forecast, the sailing will depart Heysham at 12:30 rather than 2:15. So the Bamercree heads out 3/4 of an hour early this evening from Douglas and leaves about 1.75 hours early from Heysham to the Isle of Man. Tomorrow morning's 8:45, but again, following the latest weather forecast, the sailing is subject to disruption or cancellation tomorrow morning. So the 8:45 sailing Tuesday morning may be cancelled to give the sailing every opportunity. The final decision will be made at 7:00 tomorrow morning. Listen to Manx Radio for all the details. Of course, the Ben is the only steam packet boat on duty at the moment. The Fastcraft Manana will resume her seasonal services into Liverpool on March 27th next year. First sailing of the year to Dublin, scheduled for March 28th, and to Belfast on April the 8th.
Sailings for 2020 are now available, with more than 900,000 special offer seats available during the year.
The Policy and Reform Minister says there are issues with government policies on tax and affordable housing which impact the development of brownfield sites. He's been speaking ahead of a Tynwald session tomorrow, the 10th, where a Cabinet Office report will be received outlining what's been done to tackle the issue of unoccupied urban areas. It's the second update provided by the Minister, Chris Thomas, MHK, to a number of recommendations which were approved by the Manx Parliament last year. He summed up what's being done with our local democracy reporter, Ewan Gore.
The takeaway is we've updated in December 2019 things we said in June 2019 in response to the unoccupied brownfields sites committee recommendations. And what we're saying is that planning, we've got our act together. There's nothing in planning that prevents the development on brownfield sites. In fact, planning encourages it. There are still some issues to do with some government policies, which we can review.
Planning policies or?
Not planning policies. So there's a question about affordable housing policy. There's a question about tax policy for brownfield sites relative to greenfield sites. There's also an issue about compulsory purchase and whether things are joined up. The main point I think I was trying to say in my foreword, and I think the main point that the government update says, is that brownfield sites will get developed once people can afford to develop them, which means the money is there and the demand for the housing or the services provided.
So what brings the money?
The money comes from when people want to live inside towns and when there are people coming to the Isle of Man who want to live in the towns, or where people who are not housed adequately can afford to buy houses and to spend money in shops and leisure facilities that might occupy those brownfield sites.
Mm. So do you mean population?
Population, but also income and earnings for the people who are living here.
Is that more overall population or changes to the demographic of our population?
I think we need more people, and that's the fundamental basis that I've stood on, but Mr. Shimmons has stood on. We need more people, and we need more of those people to find life in our urban areas valuable, worthwhile to live, but also to spend money as they go about their leisure lives and their quality of life aspects.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, powered by Y Manx.
It's 6:15 on Update. A Jersey company secured £2 million from a global investment company to establish itself in the £300 million British CBD market and compete internationally. Jersey Hemp's funding injection is from Guernsey-based Foresight private equity firm, whose chairman and founder, Bernard Fairman, joined other investors to help the company as it became the first in the British Isles to be granted a license to harvest the hemp flower for CBD. Now, the funding will establish extraction facilities and provide capital for the second year of cultivation and CBD production, helping Jersey Hemp compete commercially with producers in China, Eastern Europe, and the Americas, where the majority of CBD sold is in the UK originates. Foresight Private Equity has more than £4 billion under management, and Bernard Fairman becomes the non-executive chairman of Jersey Hemp. Oh, and by the way, if you're heading on a sail and rail with the Sting Packet, you won't see Virgin Trains anymore, as Britain's longest-running rail franchisees made its final trip after 22 years and almost 500 million journeys. Virgin Trains' bid to continue running trains on the West Coast Main Line was disqualified by the UK Department for Transport in April in a row over pension. Sir Richard Branson's Virgin Group and Stagecoach co-own the franchise. The new service is operated by First Group, an Italian straight railway subsidiary, as Avanti West Coast.
WiMAX. Technology, communications, services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks traded lower as weak Chinese export data highlighted the detrimental impact of its prolonged trade war with America. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell slightly as investors took a pause after a sharp rally. The dollar held its ground thanks to last week's stronger-than-expected jobs data, although worries about the US-China trade talks kept gains in check. Oil prices fell after data showed Chinese exports declined for a fourth straight month, and gold edged higher as uncertainty over US-China trade talks took center stage. In corporate news, Tesco racked up strong gains as it confirmed that it was considering a sale of its business in Thailand and Malaysia after inbound interest. Banks were on the rise amid expectations of a Tory win on Thursday's general election, with Lloyds, RBS and Barclays all higher. At the close, the FTSE 100 was down 0.8% at 7,233. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.5% at 13,107. Just after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial Index in New York was down 0.25% at 27,052. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.1% at 8,655. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up 0.6% at 3,143. On the exchange markets, the pound is worth $1 31.5 cents and a euro 18.8 cents. On the commodity markets, gold very slightly up at $1,460 an ounce, and Brent crude down 0.1% at $64.20 a barrel.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom. MT ClearSell. Personalise how you hear your mobile phone conversations.
This is Update on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint, and after the 6 o'clock news tonight, the third in our What Matters Most series. Remember, What Matters Most was your response to an online survey at manxradio.com of things that you care about. Now, a couple of weeks ago, the first programme was hosted about heritage on the Isle of Man. Last week, John Moss hosted a programme about climate change and the environment. And John, tonight the programme's about...
Well, it's the number two on the list, and that's the elderly. It's something that we hope it'll happen to all of us. We'll get old. How and what condition we are in as we get old is very important to how the quality of our life.
Care for the elderly tonight. And who's on the panel tonight?
We've got David Cretney, who, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago suggested that there might be a champion of the elderly, and that was turned down by Timbal, they say. The elderly are already being looked after. Chris Thomas, who's right at the epicentre of the discussion about pensions, which is still going on, of course. Jackie Brightson of Live at Home, getting to people to actually live at home and be able to live at home. They're also Northern Men in Sheds is what they look after as well.
Interesting to hear what David Cretney has to say, because I think earlier on this year, he criticised a care home. He never identified it, but it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. Now, this demographic time bomb, the post-war baby boomers are now in retirement, and it's going to go on. And yet, John, everyone is living longer.
Because they're being looked after better. The mechanics of the human being is looked after. You can get hips replaced, valves replaced in your heart, all sorts of things. One area which, of course, is going to add to the problems is the brain. There are things like Alzheimer's, things like dementia, in which the scientists are still trying to find out what's causing that. And someone with Alzheimer's, someone with dementia, obviously, is very difficult to look after well. We don't even know what disease we're looking after, so it is very, very difficult.
It's live tonight after 6 o'clock. Listen on AM and FM and watch the programme live at manxradio.com and download the programme afterwards as a podcast. What Matters Most with John Moss after 6 tonight on Manx Radio.
Manx Radio Sport.
With Ed Oldham.
The second round of the Utopia Hair Salon sponsored Winter Series English Skeet League was held at Miriveg in Santon yesterday. 17 competitors took part in extremely windy but dry conditions. Jeff Corkill came out on top of the A class after the two rounds, thanks to his score of 41 points. And there was a three-way tie for second, with Stan Cross, Peter Kelly and Paul Mihailovic all finishing on 39 points. Next week is the second round of the Q-Plus Callow Winter Down the Line League. Entries close at 10 a.m. The pre-Christmas shoot is 50 skeet doubles, sponsored by the club. And that's on the 22nd of December, the Sunday. And the Top Spec fencing-sponsored Christmas shoot is on Sunday, the 29th of December. That's a 50 single barrel down the line, with the prize presentation at the Crosby Hotel afterwards. Further afield, Russia's sports minister Pavel Kolobkov claims they did everything to try and resolve the doping scandal. The World Anti-Doping Agency has given the country a four-year ban from all major international sporting events after finding it tampered with athletes' data. It means there'll be no official Russian team at next year's Olympics or the 2022 Football World Cup, subject to an appeal. England will start their preparations for next summer's European Championships with a friendly against Italy at Wembley in March. Gareth Southgate's team were already scheduled to take on Denmark, Austria and Romania in the months leading up to the tournament. They begin their Euro 2020 campaign against Croatia at Wembley on the 14th of June.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Everything's fine. The Matrix Science reporting no problems. Some of them are warning, don't drink and drive, so don't. On the roads, something brand new. We always like brand new roadworks. The Ballacurn Road, the Ballacob track in Balaf. Temporary closure between Ballacob and the B10 Sartfa Road to prevent erosion of the track over the winter. Elsewhere, the main road in Colby's got temporary 24-hour three-way traffic lights. King Edward Road, Onken to Groudle's got temporary three-way 24-hour traffic signals for railway works. The Peel Road in Douglas, still a temporary closure of that footway between 41 Peel Road and the former Wool Control Centre, while Dandara flattened the old Athol Garage site. Still Curragh Road, St John's, with those temporary traffic lights. All the details, by the way, at manxradio.com for trains, planes, boats, buses and roadworks. And Douglas Promenade. At the airport, everything's fine. Everything's arriving slightly early because of the tailwind, I think. But elsewhere, everything's leaving okay. The 5:35 to Dublin, left 5 minutes early. Later on, departures for Edinburgh, Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick showing no problems.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
A Tynwald committee turned its attentions to the Chief Secretary this afternoon as it continued its investigation into the role of the island's senior Crown appointments. The Constitution and Legal Affairs and Justice Committee is examining the relationship that Her Majesty's Attorney General has between the government, Governor and Tynwald. But in today's discussion, the panel was quizzed and quizzed Will Greenhow about the role of the Solicitor General.
In practice, though, what's your view on the potential for conflict if we have one senior law officer advising those different aspects of our government and state?
I think in the past, until we appointed the Solicitor General, I think there was probably more of a possibility of that occurring. But I think one of the issues that we resolved with the appointment of the Solicitor General is breaking that possible issue.
I feel, with hindsight, that perhaps we were sold a bit of a dummy over the Solicitor General, in the sense that one imagined at the time that there would be a clearer separation between the Solicitor General and the Attorney General, that the Attorney General would be look at the executive side, the Solicitor General might be much freer and perhaps provide advice to the parliamentary side. It frankly looks more like Attorney General and Deputy than it does two specific roles.
I think the Wooler report tried to bring out the roles of both the Attorney General and the Solicitor General and why we should have...
In practice, though, what's your view on the potential for conflict if we...
It looks more like Attorney General and Deputy than it does two specific roles.
I think the Wooler report tried to bring out the roles of both the Attorney General and the Solicitor General and why we should have two Crown appointments within the chambers itself. And how those roles have developed, I think, is very much depending on how the Attorney General saw them developing and how he wished the roles to interact and to play within the chambers itself.
I think you're almost agreeing with me, Chief Secretary, in a way. God forbid. But...
That's it. The Chief Secretary and the Select Committee agreeing, perhaps. That's it for Update Tonight. Thanks to our producer, Sarah Hendy. It's What Matters Most after the 6 o'clock news.
Manx Radio's Update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.